I'm glad that Alex was talking about a psalm, because that's kind of what we're going to spend some time on, is Psalm 25. And I guess if there was a theme, it would be all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And that's kind of what I wanted to hit on. I don't know how this is going to come out, but I was just, you know, coming off of the May season that we've been in. I've been to a lot of graduations in our girls' school. By the way, my name is David. If I haven't met all of you, I'm David. I'm mainly over in the Fort Worth Church. I've been going here for about 20 years. Through Dan. Dan is actually the instrument that brought me to Emmanuel 20-something years ago. Yeah. And so...
You're the man, Dan.
Yep, he is the man. Probably you're responsible indirectly for probably 10 or 15 different guys and families coming through this church. So God's used you. I just love this church. I think this church is really special. I love that it's small. I know we're not destined to always be small, but I just feel like there's just such a special truth that's preached here, and I know it's really ministered to me. I was even thinking this morning as I was driving over, I was thinking about two completely seemingly disparate thoughts, ideas that don't seem to go together, you know, like start each day in victory. You know, I believe that. We start every day in absolute victory. Yet at the same time, I also believe that we as Christians are to relax and just be ourselves. Oh, yeah. You know, and so how do those two go together? how can you relax and be yourself and still be in victory? You know, because if you relax and are yourself, I mean, for me, I can just imagine all sorts of trouble and sin that I'll get into. But it's, I think the answer to that is faith. You know, it's Jesus always the answer to everything. But so mercy and truth is what you get with Jesus. And so I thought we'd spend some time in Psalm 25. And that's kind of what I've been hearing lately, and might relate a couple of things I've been going through. And so Psalm 25, Psalm of David, who's an interesting character in the Bible. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And I guess I'll just hang there for just a second. Seeing all these graduations that, you know, these kids are finishing this kind of era of their life, you can see their path that's before them, and you can see the path that they've been on. And it's got me really thinking. I've got a girl who's going into her senior year of high school next year, and it's kind of starting to get a little bit emotional just thinking about the end of an era, and then thinking about, man, just missed opportunities, you know, I've had as a dad, you know, times where we weren't there together as a family. We weren't eating at around the table every night because of work, or, you know, they're in activities or just whatever. You just think about all the, it's tempting to regret, you know? And so just to look at your life and look back and say, wow, you know, just, I missed a lot, and I need your mercy, God. Cause, you know, you can kind of see your mistakes in your kids. like sometimes it's very obvious. But at the same time too, you know, you're believing, you know, there's no regret there. God's going to redeem any of those mistakes. And, we need his mercy, but it's just at this time of year, you start to think about too, what's in front of them. You know, what's in front of them is, you know, there's going to be a lot of victories. There's going to be a lot of joy, but there's also going to be a lot of sorrow, and there's going to be, you know, they're going to lose their way at times. There's this song that one of the kids at this, every year at our kids' school, they do this senior gala, and it was real emotional this year. It was about 2 weeks ago. They have, it's a really small school, and it's a Christian school, but each of the teachers, is given this charge to give to the students, and then they know that student really well because it's pretty small, and each faculty member gives this charge, and they also pray over them. And it's emotional because they have, you know, the slideshow with the student and the song that goes with it that the parents put together. So it really gets you. But one of the things that, or one of the songs that one of the parents put up was this song by Andrew Peterson. And I don't know if y'all know who he is, but he's a great Christian author and a songwriter. But he's got this song called, he wrote it for his son who was about to enter into college as well. And it was basically his kind of charge to his son, which is to stay to the old roads, keep to the old roads. You know, like when you get lost, come back to the old roads, like the Apostles' Creed. You know, like you want your children to remember in this world of distractions and just seemingly new roads and new paths. You know, like the path of I can do it on my own, or human progress, believing in yourself. You want them to come back to the old, no, I need Jesus, like the Apostles' Creed, like we've the old road that we've had for thousands of years. You want your children to follow that road and remember to come back to that. And you see all these kids, and it's awesome because you've seen that they've already been doing that in some small ways, and they've needed to. But then you know they're not going to be in your house anymore. So it's like, I can't be with you anymore like I have been. And I just hope that what I did was enough to get you to come back to that old road. And it's the same, I feel like, with God, with us. Like he can't physically be here anymore. You know, Jesus can't physically be here with us daily. But he is with us, but it's by faith, right? And so it's like, mm-hmm. You can see that yearning that God has for us to stay close to him. Stay close to him. Come back to him. Be in that relationship. Because there is trouble out there, you know? And you need to be on that narrow path. You need to be on that old road, you know? And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about as I read this, is that his paths are always mercy and truth. And so, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, which is a very narrow path, you know. It's so easy to get, like we've talked about, the legalism and license and how easy it is to get into either one of those paths, you know. And it's like that narrow path is where you can hold those two thoughts at the same time. Relax and be yourself, yet you're always in victory, you know. And it's like, those don't seem to go together, but they do. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And you can just hear David's spirit here. You know, David is just a mess of a man. Looking at his life, just disaster of a family, you know. Dumpster fire of a family. Just, you know, his son is rebelling. He loves, he yearns for his son, yet he's also having to defend the kingdom. I mean, his son's trying to, Absalom's trying to subvert the whole kingdom. And, man, you can just hear David's heart, you know. This is before all that took place, but I think this was written before Psalm 51, where the whole Bathsheba thing happened. But, you can just hear David's heart, though. He knows he needs God. He needs to be close to God. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And so that's the promise to, you know, people like me who sin a lot. And, you know, I know this church, we're not all about fixing yourself up, you know, just come to God with honesty, you know, and that's true Christianity. We believe in the blood of Jesus because we need it, you know, and we depend on it. And that's what I want for my girls. That's what I want for, you know, all of us in the church, is to, you know, not fix ourselves up, but we're sinners. Apart from him, we're sinners. He's transformed us. We have a new identity, but, you know, apart from him, we can do nothing. So the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And now this, if I were to say, is the theme I wanted to hit on today, is all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And that we, I really, it's a promise. You know, all his paths are mercy and truth. The path that we have, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow or this year, the rest of this year, you know, next year, year after, next 10 years. I'm sure there's a lot of trials. There's going to be a lot of awesome things, highs and also lows. But I can tell you it's going to be mercy and truth. I do know that. It's going to be mercy and truth, and I know that we do, that applies to us. We do keep his covenant. We're here this morning. We're talking about him. We're rehearsing the testimonies. You know, we're part of this group. And so, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And that's very obvious to me. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. When I hear the word feareth, I just think of, I kind of substitute that because I don't believe it's the same kind of fear that I'm naturally thinking of. It's like paying attention, that kind of fear. Like if you have a boss that you admire or you really look up to, you want to just pay attention to what they're asking you to do and what they're saying to you. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. That's that relax and just be yourself. Because this isn't us manufacturing that. Yeah. You know, we're not trying to be Jesus. He is a reality in us. And we can just be ourselves. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. So this is all just promises. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And again, I mean, secrets, like, they're secrets for a reason. Like, God doesn't just share this with everybody. You've got to be in relationship with him. You've got to be close to him. He's not going to tell, you know, someone on the outside the same things that he's going to tell you. And so, that it's a privilege, you know, to hear these things. He will show them his covenant, his promises. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. And I was thinking this week, every single week that I begin, I think, okay, I'm going to start this week in victory. You know, I'm going to start this week in, you know, in God's promises, and they're just going to be my reality. And usually right around Tuesday or Wednesday, that all gets shot. Yeah. To somewhere not that's not heaven. So, like this last week, you know, in my job, we have to follow these very tight procedures. You know, I'm an employee, and we have policies we have to follow. I'm in sales, and you know, we have to sell things a certain way. You know, like very, very strict policies, and. You know, I was really patting myself on the back because I thought that I'd done everything right. Like, I'm training this new surgeon, and we have these boxes that we have to check. And you move them from one phase of training to the next phase, and you have to vet them. You have to validate certain things. You have to do all this stuff before you, you know, really put the surgeon through what is a quality training. We're training these surgeons to use this new tool, this robotic tool that we sell. And so... I was in Atlanta this week, and I don't know why this always seems to happen to me in Atlanta in a hotel, but I woke up in the middle of the night, and it's like the second time in the last year this has happened. I woke up at like 2 in the morning, and I was just terrified. Like, I just felt terror because the day before I'd heard a couple of things that started to suggest that I hadn't done everything that I was supposed to have done with this particular surgeon. I was actually in Atlanta with the surgeon training, and he had told me a couple things. Like, before we went to Atlanta, he had said, you know, like a couple things, like we have to have 4 procedures booked by the time we get back. So, and then we do that so that we have followed the process, and we're going to apply the skills that we learned in this lab next week on your first patients, which are, by the way, tomorrow. And so he's supposed to have 4 because one's always going to cancel. Then we have 3, which is what's required to actually get cleared for their privileges at the hospital. I know this is a lot of detail, but just to kind of relate with you. So I had 4 booked, and he had just told me the day before one had canceled and then one had rescheduled. Well, we've already put money up front. We have another surgeon coming in to proctor this guy, And I'm just starting to think about all the things that I didn't ask this guy up front, like just detail after detail that I didn't really vet out 2 weeks prior. And then it started this spiral where I just started thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm going to get nailed for this. Because these are things that these are rookie mistakes. Like I've been here in this job for like 8 years, and I'm supposed to be sort of a leader, you know, on our team and setting an example. And I just started thinking like, I'm like worse than a new rep, you know, I'm just such a loser. And I just started getting really caught up in my failure. I don't know why, but this is just such a big thing to me at 2 a.m. And the funny thing is, like, I know better than this, but I just got caught up in the circumstance of just beating myself up over and over and over again. And it's, you know, 2 days later, like, I kind of went through that feeling like a failure. By Friday, he had actually found like 3 or 4 other patients, and it totally worked out. And then I'm starting to like congratulate myself. You're like, oh, I'm a genius. Like, this is so awesome. And it's just funny. Like, I have such a false...
One extreme to the other.
Yes. And it's all based on like emotion and circumstances. And I'm like, man, I wish I could just live in victory all the time where I'm not basing it on circumstance or how I'm doing in the moment. It's based on God's promises. And so just seeing those failures, it was a good reminder to me that, you know, I haven't arrived yet, and it forced me to get into the Word. So there was a victory there. I just, you know, again, I thought the victory was in the victory itself, the circumstance that the surgeon did what he was supposed to do, and I did my job to get him to do that. That wasn't the victory. The victory was seeing the failure, getting in the Word, remembering who I am, and then God gives you the victory in reality later. So that's my testimony from this week. But just seeing again, every week, it's like the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. They're always mercy and truth. So you see your failure, you see you can't do it, and yet he comes through. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. And I just, again, I pray for this for my kids. I pray for this, you know, for my whole family, my wife, everybody. I just pray that we all, you know, learn this over and over and over again. So, forget where I'm at. Turn thee unto me. I think it's verse 16. Turn thee unto me. Oh, yeah. So a minute ago, we just talked about how he shall pluck my feet out of the net. I was just giving an example of a net that I got caught in. And I'm sure this next week I'll get caught in another net. But he will pluck us out of the net. Yeah. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Reminded of that all the time. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. You know, if I didn't have these experiences, I don't know that I could relate with this psalm. You know, there's a lot of people, I just feel like I work with a lot of these people that just seem to have it all together. And they don't ever seem to ever have, you know, cracks. They do everything right, and they're just cool as steel, you know, just like very together, and they are organized. They probably have really good habits that I could learn from. You know, just practically speaking, they probably get up at 5 every day and run 5 miles. And I actually know one guy does, and he's a role model. But at the same time, I'm not saying I should encourage all of us to be like slovenly and sleep in till 9 every day. But I like the way God's doing it in me, because that's the way I am. You know, he's working on me the way I am. I can relax, be myself, yet at the same time, I can live in victory. And not because of a behavior change. It's because I believe Jesus really is in me, and he really is working something out, even though sometimes it doesn't look that way. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Which, I mean, that's the bad thing, is that sin does cause pain, you know? Sin actually is painful. And, you know, being lazy in your job is painful. You know, there's consequences to that. I don't think I have to really harp on that. You will probably lose your job, and you may have a hard time. Hey, Julia. It's my Uganda buddy back there. You will feel pain, you know, when there's sin, and there's sin all around us, and we try to hide it, but it's there. But it comes with pain. But we ask God to just look upon my affliction and my pain, forgive all my sins, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And I love when David talks about Israel, or even when he talks about Jacob. You think about that name, Israel. That's the new name that God gave to Jacob, right? And the whole nation is named after that name. But it's almost like when he says redeem Israel, it's he's saying remember the one that you made the promise to. Remember the one that you redeemed. You made him the prince of God. He was the cheater. Remember, Jacob was the supplanter, and God totally transformed him into a prince. And so that's the same with us. God's giving us a new name. We don't know what it is. It's hidden. It's secret. It'll be revealed at the right time. That's a promise that we have in Revelations, that we'll all have new names. But that there's that prayer that there is going to be redemption for Israel. There's going to be redemption for us based on promises. So Psalm 25 was something I've been kind of meditating on for those reasons, just this path that we're on of mercy and truth. I don't know if that resonates with you guys, but yeah. So I've been thinking about that, and then I was going to share a couple other verses. Matthew 12, I think. I was reading Matthew 12 the other day, and what really stood out to me was this Matthew 12, 20. And it's actually a quote from Isaiah, but it's talking about the Lord. And just thinking about small and weak things, things that are unimpressive, you know, the Lord's attitude towards that, you know. And if you look here, it says, I'm actually going to start at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, talking about Jesus. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And I just think about times in my life where I'm reminded I'm just like a bruised reed, or, you know, something very fragile, something very weak that could easily just be kind of, you know, just flicked off or something. He doesn't, he actually does not kind of flippantly disregard the weaker and the smaller things in the world. And me included in that, and I believe all of us really are in this category, right? We all are desperately wicked and desperately in need of just absolute mercy. And when you see things correctly, you'll see that you're in this group too. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. So he's not going to you know, just basically do away with us, even though we're kind of at the end of ourselves, till he send forth judgment into victory. And so just seeing that these moments where you're feeling really small, really weak, really at the, you know, absolute end of yourself, seeing that, you know, that could be seen as kind of a judgment. And it could be a judgment of some poor decisions that you made, some sinning. You know, I sin all over the place all the time. It could have been something that I may be in a situation where I'm in a low state because I put myself there. But God doesn't just punish me for doing that. He actually, you know, judgment is swallowed up in victory. So there may be judgments that are kind of built into nature, but that's not the last word. You know, there's victory, and there is resurrection out of death, you know. And that's part of those. Again, we're talking about the paths of the Lord are always mercy and truth. Our future, you know, may involve looking like and feeling like a bruised reed at times, but there's going to be victory that comes out of those moments, out of those situations. So, and I know all of us here, some of you, I know we've all had lives full of trouble, you know, full of things that aren't easy. And so just knowing that God, his attitude towards that is that he's not going to just extinguish, is that the word? Yeah, okay. You know, a smoking flax, you know, he's just going to kind of let it burn, and he's going to blow on it, and he's going to, I mean, there's going to be resurrected life, like a fire that comes out of that. So God is good. Let's see here. We talked a little bit about Jacob, and David wrote the psalm that we just read, but just thinking through the characters in the Bible, I just love that they're all real people like that, you know, that they're all people who live lives full of sin. Their sin's just right there for you to see, and it's easy to judge it and just shake your head and just think, why? What are you doing? Like, you look at David with the Bathsheba thing, like, what in the world are you doing? Not only are you going to take this woman, you're going to kill the husband and then try to hide it and then act like nothing ever happened. You know, just obviously gross sin, you know, and it's just, it's so obvious to everybody who reads that. And it's just, he was completely blind to it, you know, until Nathan came and pointed out his sin. And again, that's kind of like the truth coming. The truth came to him for the first time. And that's part of sometimes what we need too, is we need to hear truth. We need to hear, no, you're wrong in that area of your life, so that the mercy can then come and do its work. And then it's, again, paths of mercy and truth. The truth's going to come again, and it's going to transform David into actually being the king that he's meant to be. And there's going to be healing in his family, even though there's a lot of consequences to all that truth that he had to face of his own sin. So just looking through the characters of the Bible, you can see it all over the place, these patterns of the paths of mercy and truth. Almost out of stuff here, so see if there's anything else. I guess I'm going to finish on this. 2 Corinthians 4. So going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Gospels, and get some epistles in at the end.
2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah, it is a good chapter. You know, this last year, there was around November, I was a similar situation. I was in Fort Worth, and I was going through some really hard stuff with my family. And that week, my Danny had asked me again, like today. He's like, "Hey, man, Thursday." He's like, "I need you to teach on Sunday." And I was like, "This is not an easy week for me to teach." And I don't teach very often. This is always really challenging for me to get up here and teach. But, you know, Pastor Jim's wanting, I think, some of the younger guys to just share and get some practice up here. And obviously, I think he also appreciates a break every now and then, too. I think he's traveling this week, right? He's up in Connecticut, or I don't know if he's back yet or not.
He's back.
Okay. So anyway, this was kind of the beginning of this project, for me at least. And Danny's like, "Hey, Thursday, I need you to teach on Sunday." And I was completely caught off guard, and I was going through all this drama with my family, with one of my daughters especially. And I just got up there, and I was reading from this chapter here, 2 Corinthians 4, and I just completely lost it. I mean, I just emotionally just, I was crying probably half of the time I was sharing. But it was actually really, you know, it's powerful when you hear somebody completely breaking down in front of a group. But it was just very real of what I was going through, because the words that he's talking through here are, well, I'll just kind of read it and see kind of if you can relate. But it's this, again, this idea of these weaker moments in our lives, these weak sides that we have to our to who we are, and how God's attitude is towards that. Let's see here. I'm just going to start reading at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I just love that right there, that last part, because I think a lot of Christians live in confusion. And I don't think that's something to run away from or deny. I think it's easy to get confused, and I think that's kind of like the best man can do, apart from Jesus, is be confused. I just love that. What bothers me is when a Christian, apart from the Holy Spirit, thinks that this whole Christianity thing just makes total sense, and he can work this whole thing out rationally. You know, it's a mind thing. And if you look at Paul in 1 Corinthians, it's completely not a mind exercise. Like, God is not relating with our natural man. He's not relating with our logic, you know. He's doing something totally different. And I just love that confusion is something that Paul kind of embraces here. You know, we are perplexed, but not in despair. And it's confusing because what you see isn't matching up with what you believe. You know, I'm sure when the disciples saw Jesus dying, this savior of, you know, Israel, the salvation of the Jews, was just, you know, on open display, dying in front of them. And that's confusing. It's very confusing when you see your family suffering and there's promises on your family that they're going to be in victory. That's confusing. That's not normal, right? I mean, you're supposed to see the promises fulfilled. I'm sure all of you in here have had promises in your lives that don't always look like they're being fulfilled. And that is very confusing. So I think to acknowledge that, that's just really powerful. But again, we're not in despair because we still believe. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And I think that was really what just broke me down in the fall, was reading that in that week. I was feeling the death of Jesus. You know, I was feeling, you know, if Christ in us is the hope of glory, that side of Jesus is what I was really feeling. I was not feeling the victory. I was believing the victory, but I was not feeling it. And so I just want to acknowledge the fact that we all are going through this path of mercy and truth, and there's transformation going on as we go from chair 4 and 5 in the fire, and we're rejoicing when we don't feel like rejoicing. And that resurrection is there, but it doesn't always look obvious, you know. And so we're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Yeah. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep, God is good. I think that's probably the best place I could end. But I think that, again, we can, I started saying something that I was thinking in the car on the way over. We can start each day in victory. We don't have to think about how we're doing or how we look or how we feel. Start the morning off in victory. Danny's been saying that a lot lately as I've been hearing Danny talk. And I know that's a core verse to who we are as Christians. We start the day in victory, but at the same time, relax and be yourself, because it's not you doing it. It's not you manufacturing it. It's the Christ in us. He is the hope of glory. So God's good. I was thinking about what you were sharing though, Lynn, and I was, at the beginning I was talking about, we do these senior galas, where they do a slideshow with the kids at our school, and it's emotional because you look back and you see the journey, when they're little and they're kind of idiots, and you see them as they've grown up. I mean, at the end, they do, usually by the time they graduate, they look pretty amazing, but then you're like, you don't know, again, what's going on in there. But I'm just thinking about the metaphor with our lives, maybe in heaven there'll be some sort of a gala, where we look on our life. It is but for a moment. But it's emotional because you see, oh man, the trials that I went through, but the lessons that I learned, and it all worked out perfectly. Nothing could have been any better. And that, right now it's in faith, but I think there'll be a time where we really review our lives, and the confusion and all of the stuff that doesn't seem to add up, it will make sense. And you kind of see that in these milestone moments, with your kids when they graduate high school or college. And, but just seeing that, how God looks at us too with his heart. He wants us to do well, and we are going to do well, but there's a period of growth we have to go through, and the death march, death, whatever you called it. Is it a death march? Is that what you said? Yeah.
And this walk of faith is the most penetrating of all death.
Yeah. So what I hear too in that is that God, with these trials and the path that we're on, is he's building testimonies. He's building testimonies because we can relate with people.
Sure.
If everything just worked out beautifully all the time, that'd be a pretty boring story. But you have then a story or a testimony that you can share and relate with other people. And it's powerful. Like, it's persuasive.
Yeah.
So just hearing your story, that's what I was thinking of.